Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is our weekly Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, over here. Next to me, we've got the puppet David Griggs. Down
Yes,
below,
we do.
second row, Rocco Miller joining us back from bracketeer.org.
And next to you, we have the puppet, David Griggs. That's me.
We already did that
I'm
line.
Here. Yeah, but in case anyone forgot.
As I was saying, I think this is our Under the Radar podcast. And David, why don't you tell everybody and make sure you mess it up like you always do. What it
yeah,
means to be
I
under the
always
radar.
mess this up. Okay, Under the Radar is the 22 regular one-bid leagues. Sometimes these leagues get more than one team, but more often than not, they're getting one team in. It is not the Power Five, which is the Big East, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC, and ACC, or the other five conferences, which I don't know if we have a name for them, but the other five multi-bid leagues, which is the Big East, the Mountain West, the West Coast, the American, and the Atlantic 10. I got them all! What did I miss?
Actually, you got it right, but I wanted to. I was ready to buzz you anyhow, so I just did it. But yes, yeah, that's what those conferences we deal with on Monday nights in our Hoops HD report. Tonight, this is our Under the Radar. We are going to go through all these other normally 22, 21 this year with the Ivy League not playing conferences. And I like to start off each of these shows with a feature conference, a conference that we're going to focus on, maybe spend a little more time on than we normally do. And this week's feature conference, there are, I think there's half a dozen undefeated teams left in the country, you know, Baylor and Gonzaga being the two big ones. There's been a lot of talk about Winthrop and about Drake being undefeated. Not much talk about Alabama A&M being undefeated, deservedly so, not much talk about them being undefeated. But I want to talk about the sixth team here and the Siena Saints over in the Metro Atlantic Conference, because this is a team, Rocco, let me start with you actually here. The Siena had no non-conference games whatsoever. But now they're in conference play, and while they got a little bit of test from Ryder on Saturday, they have won all six games and five out of the six at least fairly easily.
Yeah, well, they had the opening game they won by one against Monmouth. But yeah, I think the Siena team we knew coming into the year, and it was super unfortunate that they had 42 days between the start of the season, their start of the season, and everybody else's start of the season, sitting around waiting and getting, I think they got put on pause three different times. But the Saints, we knew coming into the year with Jalen Pickett and a lot of the supporting cast coming back and a really great coach in the making in Carm Masciarello. He's just been phenomenal since he got there. That this team's got some serious potential to not only win the conference, but get in the tournament, maybe even knock somebody off in the NCAA. So, I really hope they go, because I think the rest of the league, there's some promise from teams like Iona and St. Peter's, but I think this is the team that can really carry the flag for the league and make a good showing in the NCAA.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's been a lot of shutdowns in this league. Iona is in a shutdown again now. They're sitting there 3-1, but as you can see, teams like Monmouth have played, you know, way more games than them, six more games than Iona has at this point. Also, Quinnipiac, who I believe is back playing again. They had a couple of shutdowns. They've only played four games as well in conference.
Right, and it's kind of hard to say. I mean, you can go off the eye test, so to speak, when it comes to Siena, but it's kind of hard to say just how good are they really, because there were no out-of-conference games. There isn't really anything to measure them by other than how they're doing against the rest of the conference. And we'll get to this later. They'll probably be in our top 10, but I don't know how good they are. I think that they are really good. I just think it's a shame that they didn't get any, and you almost hope that, like, can we get St. Bonaventure or something to get some of these maybe early or midweek games of teams that have some from the area that have spots on their schedule to fill. Because as you said, a lot of people from this part of the country have experienced shutdowns.
Yeah. And look at this upcoming schedule. They've been basically playing Friday, Saturday, back to back in the Metro Atlantic. So, you know, why not be able to schedule a game in here earlier than that? Right. Upcoming, Siena has St. Peter's for two this week. And Rocco, St. Peter's had a little life early on and struggled a little bit lately, but that could be a bit of a test for Siena, even though they are at home.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard in general to win these back-to-backs, especially when you're paired against an opponent that's got potential capability to hang. St. Peter's more than likely will compete. The last time we saw the Peacocks was 20 days ago. Again, they're coming off their own layoff. And so I've kind of noticed with these mid-season pauses that some teams are coming out smoking. Like I think we were, you know, before the show, we were talking about an over-the-radar team, Florida State, who did. But others have really stumbled because these teams are coming back in all shapes and sizes. Sometimes they're coming back with only 7 healthy players. Other times they got everybody back and they got a whole week of practice in. And those are the teams that are playing well. So without really knowing that about St. Peter's, that would be a big variable for how they perform this Friday and Saturday. But in general, I think the two teams on paper look not too distant apart in terms of talent. And I would expect at least one of the games to be tight.
Yeah, Shaheen Holloway's done a great job there at St. Peter's since he's been there. I'm just really impressed by him. And, you know, I didn't understand when why they made a coaching change, although I think their prior coach was that Dunn. He left actually St. Peter's to take the Marist job, didn't he? Not, which never made any sense to me, but
not to me either.
but Shaheen Holloway, I think, was a great coaching pick there for St. Peter's, and while the Peacocks may not win the Metro Atlantic this year, I think they're going to be up there for many years to come, at least as long as he's still there coaching.
Yeah,
I agree.
Let's go ahead and go through the rest of the conferences, though. We like to do them in alphabetical order, which means we will jump all the way back to the America East, where actually we are starting here, David, to finally see Vermont creeping up the standings after the tough start, helped a lot by UMBC splitting with Hartford and Stony Brook suffering a pair of losses to New Hampshire to kind of open the whole race back up again this week.
Yeah, and first of all, how about New Hampshire getting those wins over Stony Brook? Good for them. But I think the team to be the story is Vermont. We've been beating their drum all year. They had all kinds of issues getting out of conference games. They didn't get any, as you can see by the standing right there. By the way, a Siena Needs game sort of in that area, if Vermont or St. Bonaventure or anybody in that area is looking for games to maybe fill in between the week.
In fact, everybody in this conference is in that area. Just to say.
Yeah.
But Albany's down the street.
Siena can play all.
Albany they can walk the two. But go ahead.
Yeah. But anyway, after kind of getting out to a slow start in conference play, they've strung together a bunch of wins now. I still like what UMBC has done, but in the end, I just think Vermont has stronger pieces, and they've continue to improve as the year has gone along. I think that's who's going to be on top, and they might potentially, I don't want to say they're going to be inside the bubble, but they could make a team sweat in the round of 64.
Yeah, they could. But and UMBC, Rocco, especially with Stony Brook losing twice to New Hampshire, but I mean, the home loss to Hartford over the weekend just was a head scratch for me for UMBC, even more so than New Hampshire beating Stony Brook twice, I think, honestly.
I was surprised too, because Hartford's a team, that I was watching play. They played a few MAC schools, the conference we just covered, and I saw them hang around with teams like Marist and Fairfield, and they're kind of not, they're barely scratching the top 300. And so UMBC, for a team that we thought it looked really good, for them to split, that's pretty disappointing on their home court, especially. But I do want to give a shout out to the New Hampshire Wildcats. I did not expect them to not only go to Stony Brook, and I thought a split would be a great weekend. They got a sweep, and they're back in the hunt for the league title chase. Only a game behind UMBC. So now we have about a 4-dog race. If we don't think Hartford's a contender, perhaps Albany's a contender. They've looked better lately. I like the fact that we have 4 or 5 teams in the mix at this point. We're usually every week just coming on here on previous seasons talking about Vermont. Yeah. Now we get to talk about a lot more teams, which is fun.
Right.
Yeah, this is the first year I've remembered a long time, actually, where we've been looking at such a bunched up standings in America East, more after about 2 weeks of the conference season.
New Hampshire, a former team of the people. I think the last team of the people, weren't they?
They might have been. But the games look forward to this week. New Hampshire hosting Albany. If Albany is a contender, possibly, that could be the big series. Vermont is on the road at Hartford, who did just beat UMBC. So some games to look forward to this week, assuming they're a go, which is always a big question in this COVID season that we have. Let's jump over to the Atlantic Sun, where while Liberty is still not in first place, I still think they're the team to be in this conference, even though, Rocco, they suffered a strange loss on Friday to Stetson.
Oh, Stetson's your team.
Where my team heading into the season?
I thought you were going to brag about that.
I should be, but they were so bad before that game. I can't. I'm not ready to yet.
Yeah, and if you remember last year, Liberty had a head scratching loss to Stetson as well.
I didn't remember that, but yeah, they did.
So Donnie Jones has some sort of formula to throw the Flames off their game, and he caught him in the first game. And you notice in game two, Liberty had won by 10, but I was tracking that one pretty closely. They had a 20-point lead for a lot of it. So yeah, kudos to the Hatters. I think Liberty's still pretty good. You know, they showed us what they could do really early in the year, beat two SEC teams. We talked about this last year, and I don't think it's much different now, is they have a tendency with their style to play down to their competition. And if they're not making shots, they can get knocked off by, you know, even a mid-tier A Sun program, as they're proving. You know, now they've got two losses in the league. And I also thought, you know, just going around the A Sun, North Florida had a feverish comeback to beat Lipscomb in game two. Otherwise, Lipscomb would have a pretty nice grip on the standings. Now it's wide open again.
Well, if you want to look at standings, Liberty is actually the team that's going to be off this week, because with nine teams in the conference, there's always going to be somebody off. Liberty with the weekend off. Call somebody, get a game on your schedule, by the way, if there's room for it. But we've got
Vermont. We've got St. Bonaventure.
We've got the top two teams battling it.
Siena, yeah.
David, we got Jacksonville, North Alabama this weekend. I mean, it is the battle of the top two teams in the standings right now. I don't think it'll be the top two teams at the end of the year, but as of now, that looks like a first place battle. So
if you do brackets the way Joe Lenardi does them, it's going to determine who gets the automatic. Well,
no, North Alabama is still not eligible, but a little news out of the ASUN, actually. The ASUN did announce a revision to their conference tournament format. The entire conference tournament is going to be played in Jacksonville as opposed to on campus sites. And on top of that, all nine teams will be in the conference tournament this year. Prior years, the ninth place team had been eliminated, so there's going to be an 8-9 game on top of that. But because of COVID, they want to be in one location, which is understandable. It's a one-year change only, David. Don't worry.
Okay, that's good. One of the things I like about the ASUN, it seems like this has happened several times in recent years, where in the final game of the regular season, the 8 and 9 teams have played each other in a virtual tournament game.
Well, this year it's not going to matter because they will both be in the conference tournament. So mark that down, an extra conference tournament game from the ASUN. Big Sky Conference. And Rocco, I think we've talked a little bit about Montana State a few times this year, but now they are in sole possession of first place and undefeated, 4-0.
Danny Sprinkle's doing a fantastic job with this program. They started the year with a big win at UNLV by 13, kind of got them on the radar. They also went and played Pacific really tough, if I remember right. And so here in conference play, they've also had their own a couple of long breaks, a couple 10-day breaks. But when they went to Northern Colorado on the Front Range and got the sweep 2 weeks ago, that spoke volumes to me, because I think Northern Colorado's in that top tier of the Big Sky. To do that on the road, you know, this team is getting wins away from home. And then, as expected, they were able to take care of Portland State twice last week. So they get Northern Arizona next. They have a really good opportunity to get to 6-0. So Montana State's definitely right there in the contenders at this point, in my opinion, because they've done it away from home and against teams from better conferences.
Yeah, and David, go ahead. Yeah. I was going to say, David, last week we were circling the Eastern Washington, Southern Utah games. Eastern Washington won the first game, but Southern Utah bounced back with a real nice road win at Eastern Washington to stay right up there at the top, and proving that they do belong in the top here of this conference.
Yeah, and that now they got my attention. I agree with what Rocco said about Montana State. I mean, they appear to be the strongest team and the team that I would be betting on. But how about Southern Utah? At first, it was just intriguing that this team had been improving, even to be in the middle of the league like they were a few years ago after winning the Centenary Award. And it was like, well, isn't this a fun story? Let's see how many weeks they can be at the top before they fade. Well, they took on perhaps one of the more talented teams in the conference, if not the most talented, and split with them. Southern Utah, when you look at, once you get below Eastern Washington, they can beat all those teams.
Speaking of Eastern Washington, I've got the upcoming schedule. And David, it's one of our favorite rivalries this weekend.
Yeah, which one?
It is the Nokoiwu Cup.
Oh, the Nokoiwu Cup. Yes. Oh, it's one of the yeah. It's Nokoiwu week.
It is Nokoiwu week. Northern Colorado, Eastern Washington. Not quite Northern Colorado in the middle of the standings right now, yeah. But you know, they can climb up if they sweep that.
Stalika, if you're watching, we miss you.
Rocco, sorry, you had another comment about the conference before we move on?
Well, I just wanted to say, I think Eastern Washington, from a power rankings perspective, probably still belongs on the top. But again, losing to Southern Utah in a home game shows that they can be taken even on their home court. I liked the Sacramento State-Idaho State series. I think they're maybe just a notch below the Southern Utah, Eastern Washington programs at this point, but those games were super competitive, both of them, and I really think both programs are improving a lot. So there's just a lot of good things going on in the Big Sky.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a fun rest of the season here. I think there's a lot of teams that are competitive at the top here.
Right, and you need to do this if you're watching. If you haven't done this already, you need to go download Pluto TV so you can watch all of the Big Sky. Anyway, on
David. Big South Conference, Winthrop is continuing to win. Now, they believe they got a little bit of a battle from Presby for about a half in both Tuesday and Wednesday night's game, while Radford struggled with Campbell, including a triple overtime last night to get by the Capitals. But Radford hanging in there, second place, 9-1, finding ways to win these games.
Yeah, again, I don't think that they're as good as Winthrop, and I know Winthrop struggled against a really weak Presby team, but they still got it done.
Sure, it's a Longwood that gave them a game last week as well. But go ahead.
But I think Radford is better than the rest of the league minus Winthrop, which is why they're keeping pace with them. Once the two play each other, I think Winthrop is the team I like the best.
Rocco, the question is, can Winthrop run the table in this conference?
They can, absolutely. I mean, in each individual game, they're going to be favored, but I think Gardner Webb, Radford, UNC Asheville are still out there. Their last three series, I think they'll be okay next week in the series against Hampton. Right. But look at those last three series. I think all three of those teams might be 2-3-4 in the league. You got to figure, and they go at Radford on the road. So you got to figure between those six games, there could be a loss in there.
Yeah,
they go Hampton, then at Charleston Southern before those three series.
They should win all four of those, and then.
Well, Charleston Southern got played already. There was a shuffle.
Oh, okay.
So Winthrop, am I saying that right? They're done on February 19th.
Well, the Big South did set up a week for makeup games.
Go play some ACC teams, boys.
Yeah, go play some. Go play. Yeah, go.
Go play Siena.
Yeah, go
play Siena. You never want to root for a team to get shut down, but that'd be a good week for if somebody had to in the ACC.
Well, Florida has been shut down. I mean, there are teams out there that could use that game.
Even if they play Angry Frank, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'd take a game against, you know, Georgia or Auburn even. I'd take anything.
Yeah.
But
let's
jump over to the Big West Conference. David, I was mentioning some changes in conference tournaments. I think we might have announced this last week or the week before. Big West is going to a full 10 teams in its conference tournament this year. UC San Diego not eligible for it, but playing in Vegas instead of Anaheim and 10 teams in instead of 8. But Big West, you know, there's the standings. We got UC Irvine, who did not get any games in this week. It's tough. This conference is getting crushed by getting games canceled, really.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate because, you know, this has always been one of the, you know, leagues that we've always enjoyed watching. I still really like the Eaters. Bakersfield having an interesting year, although I think that they've been
They got the sweep on Hawaii. I mean, that's not easy to do.
Yeah, I think their schedule's been a little, backloaded, so we'll see if they can keep it up, but still kind of an impressive start. You mentioned Riverside, and the game that really impressed me wasn't the conference game, but it was the game that they played against USC.
They lost, but OT.
Yeah, in overtime, and it came down to, like, the final possession. 6-3 overall, looking really good. So a lot of, good stories that would be better stories. You kind of hate that the shutdowns and the COVID are looming over what really would be, under normal circumstances, a really fun year for the Big West. It's fun anyway, but God. And how about some news yesterday? I think you, or maybe it was Rocco, that shared it. UC Davis finally going to be able to play a little bit here.
Yeah, Rocco, I know you're out there on the West Coast. UC Davis, we really were thinking they'd have to cancel the rest of their season, but Yolo County loosened the restrictions. Now they can play.
Yeah, I mean, those restrictions were really tough because the restrictions were if they hosted a game or if they went on the road, they had to come back and do 14-day quarantine or, you know, vice versa, right, for a team that visited. So it was just impossible. So that's huge. So they'll get back on the court hopefully in San Diego this week. They're scheduled to. And now they've got a race to the finish. But the Friday-Saturday format allows them to hopefully get a WCC or a Pac-12 team on Mondays or Tuesdays.
Or make up one of these missed Big West series.
Right.
Yeah.
But what the Big West has been doing a little differently than any other league is they've been flat out canceling these games. So the program will have the option if they want to try to reschedule or just go out of conference.
Okay. Well, now if they reschedule, would that become a non-conference game against a conference foe, or would they count in the conference standings? Do we know that?
That's an interesting question. I don't know, haven't decided yet.
No one really knows.
Yeah, I don't know what the Big West stance is on that, but when we get to the WAC, we just had one announced this afternoon where it's actually going to be a non-conference. So we'll talk about that when we get to the WAC. I would imagine maybe the Big West is similar.
Sienna's available.
Let's keep going out here.
Yeah,
David, hang out for a few games.
David, over in the Colonial, Northeastern is continuing to impress. They were close games. They were road games, a tough place to play at Charleston, but they won. They got the sweep this weekend.
Yeah, after sort of an anemic start to the season overall, Northeastern just really dominating the conference, and it hasn't been. Like backloaded either. They've played some of the better teams. They've played on the road. They've won. James Madison right there with them in the loss column.
Yeah, congratulations to James Madison. Rocco, they got one game in. They won at Towson.
That was impressive. But it was also Towson's first game back too. So
Towson got three games in, at least in this week though. Go ahead.
They did. Yeah. And then they turned around and swept Wilmington. I thought that was a big step forward for the Tigers. Wilmington also coming off of a shutdown. All three of that triangle, crazy. And then we also saw some bad news today for Charleston. Worse than getting swept by Northeastern, their star player Brevin Galloway tore his ACL, so he's out for the year.
Ooh, I didn't hear that. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he's been out for a little while now, so they've already started to adjust without him. But it's too bad he won't be back on the court this year.
Well, we have a battle of undefeateds coming up on Saturday. James Madison at Northeastern, 1-0 versus 6-0. Saturday and Sunday, if either team sweeps, they'll be in clear and sole possession of first place. Just got to say that. Towson at Hofstra circle that series as well. Towson, you know, with that sweep of Wilmington that Rocco mentioned, suddenly in the thick of things here in the Colonial.
That's all it takes.
Not a strong year for the – well, again, it's circumstantial. They just didn't get the chance to get on the court. Hofstra, keep your eye on them too. Now we're moving on.
Okay. Yeah, we're moving on here, David. Come on, we got to keep going. Rocco, yeah. One of the most impressive sweeps that I saw, I think I've seen it all season, was what Western Kentucky did by sweeping Marshall after they had a couple of – and it was a home-and-home. It wasn't both. It was one at home, right. One on the road. After they had some very questionable losses, including the Charlotte loss a couple weeks ago.
Agreed. Yeah. And they were both nail biters. WKU pulled away at the home game in the last minute to win by 8 and then all the way down to the wire at Marshall. But you're right. Marshall's a top 100 metrics team. In fact, in KenPom still, I think Marshall's ranked above Western. And that's actually the point I wanted to make about Western Kentucky, because I think if you just look at their resume without looking at their rankings, their resume right now is right there to be, you know, maybe a first four team or slightly inside the bubble. The thing that's killing them the most is their net is still, I think, 88, and all the metrics have them in the high 80s. So even though they're getting a couple of these wins, they're going to have to start really pounding some teams, and that's got to start this week against Middle Tennessee. You know, we're seeing teams like Loyola Chicago and a couple others take advantage of the net formula, Boise State, another one. By just pounding the heck out of teams, and then that's getting them in the top 50. Western's got to start doing that, otherwise it's going to be really hard to put them in if their net's still in the 80s.
Right. Adjusted efficiency. I believe it's adjusted, or is it just straight up efficiency? Half adjusted, of the net this year.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. And again,
it's sad in some ways because the resume should mean more, I think.
I think it should too. And I think the committee would hopefully has enough sense to, like, you know, evaluate it appropriately. It is a sorting tool. But efficiency, half of the is efficiency. I mean,
I mean, yeah, David,
doesn't
I agree.
Even have to do with wins and losses. It's you know how much do you score and how little do you, or how often do you stop the other team?
Exactly. Yeah, and I think, you know, the resume, it's almost always the deciding factor. I think truly, but the metrics come in when you have outliers like this.
Right.
That's the only reason I'm mentioning it. I think, you know, the year St. John's got in as a first four team, they were 73rd and got picked. So even if Western can just get up into that range, they might be okay.
Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, if something's going to bite Western, it's that Charlotte loss. And I mean, Charlotte, real schizophrenic team, losing to Belmont Abbey, a non-D1 team, but they have wins now over both Western Kentucky and UAB now in conference. So
right. I wanted to look at UAB quick. They had an interesting week, or an interesting 24 hours, where the first game on Friday, they were up by 20 on Charlotte, I think during warm-ups, before the game even started. And then not even 24 hours later, Charlotte just controlled the whole, like, what a swing within 24 hours.
That was insane.
Yeah. A 39-40 point swing there.
It kind of sums up the story of their season, you know, like they've been all over the map.
I figured out the Charlotte team that they could win the Conference USA tournament. They may not even make it to the Conference USA tournament.
Yeah,
it only takes 12 out of the 14 teams. Horizon League here, another very impressive sweep here. David, let me talk to you a bit. It wasn't a sweep. I'm sorry, it was a split. But Cleveland State and Wright State split the games, and it. Great win for Cleveland State in the first game on Friday night, a thrilling last second victory, and then they decide not to come on Saturday.
Right. And it was a fun game to watch because it was close all throughout. But the last few seconds, like, you know, if nothing else, go back and watch from when they turned the shot clock off to the end. I think there were, I don't know how many ties and lead changes, but Wright State, you know, executed a pretty good play on offense to tie the game. And they were so excited and everybody's jumping up and down and the fans who were there were happy. The problem was the game wasn't over yet. And before they could even get back on defense, like, Cleveland State had advanced the ball the length of the court and hit a game-winning layup at the buzzer. And that really made Wright State mad.
That made Cleveland State celebrate so much, Rocco, that they didn't bother even show up all on Saturday. 85-49. I mean,
what
the hell happened?
It happened against Youngstown State the week before. They lost by two in the opener and came back and won by 38 the second game. So
Wright,
I don't know.
Wright State,
maybe Wright State just needs that slap in the face in game one to wake them up. But I thought, you know, that play that David described at the end of the first game, which was an awesome game to watch, Loudon Love was just totally lost on defense. I don't know what he was doing, but that's the only reason the guy got an open look, because he just left a great player,
Loudon Love, normally.
He was just, I mean, they had just tied it on the other end, and I think he was happy and forgot to play defense. But
I don't think you're wrong. That's what it looked like. It was just this jubilation.
He lost his head.
The upcoming schedule in the Horizon League, we see here that Cleveland State is going to be hosting Milwaukee, I believe, here Friday and Saturday. Assuming those games are on Wright State, they're on the road at IUPUI. Not certain that there's much else to talk about. UIC at Youngstown State, maybe keep a look on that. You know, UIC only with two losses might still have a shot at, you know, near the top of the standings. I don't think that anyone's going to catch Cleveland State at the end of the day.
Are we getting Oakland Detroit again this week? My schedule says they're playing each other.
My schedule there says Detroit at Oakland also. That could be true. It might
so
not be
they're
true.
They're playing four times this year. All right.
Those are going to be fun. Like I said, that might be true. Do not bank on the schedules because of the way things keep getting moved around. And,
Mercy.
Yes, Detroit Mercy.
Detroit Mercy.
Sorry about that.
funny story about Detroit Mercy. The league still calls them Detroit sometimes, and I think they do it just to annoy them.
David, I'm going to let you take the next conference all by yourself, as we do every week.
Oh, okay, good. What the hell? That's not a conference.
All right, Rocco, the Mid-American Conference. Actually, that's the Metro Atlantic, which we already discussed. Let's skip over them. We talked about them at the top of the show. But the MAC now. Toledo still at 7-1, but they did suffer their first conference loss in a tough close game against Akron on Saturday.
Yeah, 1-point loss to Akron. Akron shot the lights out. Both teams did, actually. You know, Toledo really depends on outside shooting. But Akron, you know, that's the team I actually kind of had notes on tonight because they have one of the most bizarre resumes you'll find. I think it could easily be argued that the two worst teams in the MAC are certainly Northern Illinois. I don't think there's no dispute there. They've already fired their coach. And Eastern Michigan. And Akron lost to both of them. But somehow they turn around and they beat Toledo, the best team in the league. And they beat the second best team in the league, Bowling Green, after that, you know, last night. So I don't know what's going on with the Zips. I picked them to win the league because they have great coaching, good schemes, but it looks like they're turning it around, but I don't know how they're losing to these poor teams earlier, you know, the week before.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
David, go ahead. Your comments?
I've got television on here above the radar. Larry Scott out.
Thank goodness.
Breaking news. Larry Scott out as Pac-12 commissioner. Rocco, let's jump off
four
the
years.
What
that's
in the
four years in the making? Wow, that's big news. I need to read into how it happened, but I mean, yeah, the Pac-12.
Well, the last 4 years, but still, it's very abrupt in the middle of our under the radar show. I mean, couldn't they have waited till we were done?
They could have. Yeah, that would have been nice.
Larry and Scott just could never do anything right.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take a look. This come back Monday night, we'll have a little bit of a discussion about Larry Scott being out. Super report, definitely. So big news above the radar. Let's get back to the Mid-American Conference, though, where we look at the upcoming schedule. Toledo hosting Kent State, and then they are at Miami of Ohio coming up, their next two games. Those are two games I guess to look at. Also want to look here. Akron has got Central Michigan and Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan. So Akron might be able to start making some moves up in the standings here with the bottom of the conference coming up this week as well.
Yeah. Or it would be on brand for them, as Rocco pointed out, to lose all those games.
Yeah, you can't count anybody out against Akron.
Yeah.
Toledo Kent State, last time they played a couple weeks ago, great game. Came down to the last second. Toledo won by two. Should be a really good rematch on Saturday.
Over in the MEAC, one of our favorite leagues, we have a couple teams here that are still willing to play even a single conference game. We've got Morgan State, who I guess was the surprise, suffering the upset loss to Coppin State. And maybe, you know, maybe Coppin State, we thought that they, you know, maybe they're going to be competing for that North Division. Or maybe, Rocco, it just doesn't even
probably
matter. Let's just go to the conference tournament.
I mean,
I think we just go to the conference tournament, maybe.
We might need to, yeah.
So there is an NIT this year. How do they decide who gets the bid, the Northern or the Southern? Because there's no crossover.
There's no crossover.
There is no crossover.
But whoever would have the higher, better overall record between the two would be the NIT auto bid team.
Which is not balanced because there's five in the North and four in the South.
It's going to go by winning percentage, too, because the Northern Division teams will actually be playing 16 games, each team four times. The Southern Division teams will only be playing 12 games, each team four times again.
Are we going to get a bonus game this year?
No. We're not getting. Yeah, we do have Norfolk State and Coppin State, a battle for first place in the North coming up on Saturday. North Carolina A&T is getting NC Central, who might be finally getting some conference games. Howard might be playing this week at Morgan State. I don't know if those are on or not. Are they out of their pause or?
so far. So far, it's supposed to be played. It was really unfortunate they couldn't play the Notre Dame game. That was one I was looking forward to.
They will play next year, though.
Yeah, as I understand it, Notre Dame will go there next year. So good for them.
Mm-hmm. Let's jump over to the Missouri Valley Conference, which has one of those undefeated teams in Drake. They are now officially out of their pause from what I heard read today, Rocco. So hopefully we will be getting Drake action this weekend. But beyond that, Loyola Chicago, you know, Northern Iowa is not the team we thought they would be because of injuries, but, you know, they got the two wins over them this week.
Yeah, I think, you know, this team is pretty good. Like, you look at Northern Iowa, they're in a world of hurt. So Loyola
literally
Chicago,
and figuratively, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So that, you know, I'm trying to take it with a grain of salt, but you know what Loyola Chicago is doing? It's a page out of the old Nate Oates book. When Net got rolled out a few years ago, Nate Oates was on top of it in year one, had Buffalo running up the score on everybody because he knew that could be the difference, you know, in sorting the teams at the end for an at-large bid. And Loyola Chicago is doing these last three games. I mean, tonight they won again by, I think it was Valpo's worst loss since joining the Valley. So, you know, Loyola Chicago is doing all they can with these inferior teams and playing every possession like they matter because they actually do. So give Coach Moser some credit here. And if you look at the Net, I think they're in the top 35 now.
I got 41 right now. Yeah,
41, yeah, but, 35 in Ken Palm. Sorry about that.
Ken Palm's, you know, Stoli efficiency. It's adjusted efficiency, I think. But yeah,
okay. Yeah, and David, you know, Missouri State did not get anything other than a non D1 game this past week. But the big games, I think, coming up. I'll note here, Bradley at Illinois State is going on as we record this. Bradley's up 1 point, up by one at halftime. They only have one loss in the conference as well. But so Loyola Chicago is at that Bradley team now on Sunday and Monday. And then Monday and Tuesday, we have Drake and Missouri State. I'm sorry, Tuesday, Wednesday, we have Drake, Missouri State. So
yeah, that one should be fun.
Two huge series, I think, here coming up this
week.
Yeah,
and again, we've been deprived of Drake and Loyola Chicago, but Drake, Missouri State should be fun. Who is Northern Iowa playing?
Two D2s or two non-D1s. I don't even know if they're D2.
That is not Cornell. That is Cornell College. And that is not Co. That's Co College. I don't know what that means. But
yeah, Chad, to your point here, you know, this is definitely, I think, a four-horse race between Drake, Loyola Chicago, Missouri State, and Bradley. Bradley getting healthy. A lot of teams, a lot of people forgot about him because they were gone so long. Drake's been gone, but nobody forgot about him because they're staying in all the news. So it's going to be – we're going to see what push comes to shove after some of these games next week. It's going to be great.
Let's roll to one of our favorite conferences here in the Northeast, where Bryant has not actually suffered a head-scratcher loss at SFPA, who had only before that game, David, had a single win of the season over a lowly, very good Pitt team. But but SFPA, they only beat good teams, obviously. For SFPA.
Sorry, I know they like being called St. Francis U. Having a very unique season where they beat Pitt, beat the best team, at least what we think is the best team, Bryant, and no one else.
but ended up being a split there. But beyond that, Rocco,
I'm still a believer in Bryant. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a conference that's going with a smaller conference tournament format this year, Rocco, with only four teams. And we may have a hell of a race to figure out who those four teams are.
I think we will. Yeah, I mean, LIU and Bryant, to me, look like the top two teams. I think they deserve that. But, you know, LIU splitting with Wagner is a little disappointing, in my opinion. I thought they had to get a sweep in that, and they couldn't. I think, you know, Fairleigh Dickinson, they've been on pause. They've got some experience from a team that made a tournament run 2 years ago. You know, Jenkins is a senior now. They could crack that top four, but we just don't know enough yet, even though they're 2-6. You've got St. Francis, New York. I mean, I don't even think they have the talent, but they play harder than probably anybody except Bryant, because Bryant just plays full speed, you know, for all 40 minutes. So they're really fun to watch. It'd be great to see if they got in the top four. Anyway, no matter who we get, those semis and final are going to be must watch.
And speaking of must watch, David, coming up tomorrow night, assuming it's a go, one of our favorite rivalry games of the entire season, the Battle of Brooklyn.
Yeah. One of the better under the radar rivalries. It really is fun. I kind of wish I wish it was open to the fans because it'll still be great.
And I kind of wish we didn't have to call Long Island the Sharks these days.
Right. Yeah. It was better when it was, well, it's St. Francis, Brooklyn, and it was LIU Brooklyn. Now but it's still the same rivalry. It's not the same without the Blackbirds. Is it the same? We want the Blackbirds back.
Feels different.
It does feel different. I think I agree with you, but I think we got to start something here to bring the Blackbirds back.
Yeah. Hashtag bring the Blackbirds back.
Hashtag bring back the Blackbirds. Let's go to the Ohio Valley Conference, where we are the same spot I think we were last week, Rocco, with two undefeated teams at the top of the standings. Belmont and Edwardsville.
Oh my goodness, Edwardsville. We've missed you. Where are you, Edwardsville? Yeah. Well, Belmont's playing great, and they're getting tremendous production. Great shooters, the big man Muzinski. They're the class of the league right now. But I think we got to talk about this Morehead State team.
I wanted to go there next. So yes, definitely.
They've got best
started in their own OVC for Morehead State in years.
Yeah, and I also read, you know, their road sweep last week combined for 40 points total margin of victory. I think the win at Eastern Illinois was the largest win ever that they've ever had there. They've got a freshman Jani Broom, excuse me. Four different freshman of the week awards already in the league. They're getting it done and they're doing it impressively. It's not like they're squeaking by anymore like they were earlier in the conference season. So shout out to the Eagles, 6-2 and a dangerous team.
Let's talk about Eastern Kentucky too here. 6-1, the only loss being at Morehead State in a relatively close game. And their only other loss on the season was at Xavier, and I believe overtime or on a last second shot. The Colonels having a big year. These two teams, travel partners, I believe they're like 45 minutes apart. OVC rivals. It's been kind of dormant in recent years because neither team's been any good at all. But with both of them playing well this year, kind of a unique story. I think that we came in thinking it was going to be Belmont, Murray, and Austin Peay. It might be Belmont, EKU, and Morehead State. The way these teams have been playing.
I mean, don't write off Austin Peay. They only played five games so far. They're still sitting there, only two losses in the conference as well.
And Jacksonville State's got, they've got some big impact transfers that has fallen short the last couple of games, barely.
Yeah, they are.
There's the upcoming schedule. Belmont is hosting Eastern Illinois and Edwardsville. If Edwardsville it gets onto the court and wins at Tennessee State on Thursday, we could have a battle of undefeateds on Saturday. So,
yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. And if so, if Edwardsville gets on the court, we'll probably have Edwardsville down the bottom of the standings by next week as well. But that's another
story. All right.
But for now, they're still up there in second place. David, over to the Patriot League, three divisions here. And the story continues to be.
I don't know what to do with that.
But the story continues to be this Navy team. They got a real tough test on Saturday from American, found a way to win the game. They were down big in that game, most of it, then ended up getting the sweep as well.
Yeah, they are so fun to watch. Again, one of the better stories, well, not just in the Patriot, but in Under the Radar. Like, they had the nice win at Georgetown. They're Army looking good too. 8-3 overall, 7-3 against D1. But how about that? Army and Navy, perhaps the two best teams in the league. Colgate really good too, I guess.
Well, Rocco, when we look at the Nets, Colgate's gonna be a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. Right? 19 net? No.
I would hope that the loss to Army would stick out a little bit during the seeding process. But if you want to give them a 5, I'll take it. Let's do it. I do think Colgate's probably, from a power rating perspective, the strongest team on paper. But Navy and Army got that extra boost starting early. They both got big wins during that non-conference experience. Army just making Florida sweat, in front of the whole country. That was pretty cool. We've got some capable teams here. Wish we could have seen them longer, but Navy's just an amazing story. 9-1. I couldn't have told you that. There's no way.
And I want to mention here, the Colgate net, it's a factor of them only playing, played six games, only against conference foes, including a blowout win over Army. This is why, when you don't have enough games, some of these metrics are off. For another example, look at American. They've got the number one strength of schedule of the nation. Why do they have that? They've played two games, and they were both against a Navy team that's one that's 9-1. That's why they have the number one strength of schedule. They have not played the toughest schedule of the nation by far. They've
Right, because
Navy twice.
Yeah, because all the computer knows is that their opponents have a combined winning percentage of 90%.
Yes.
Right. And that is by far the toughest. If you know how the strength of schedule is calculated, it's not even close, but that's, I mean, that's like, you know, a baseball player on opening day going 2-for-3 and it's like, oh my God, he's hitting .667. No, he is, but he's not.
Exactly. He is, but he's not. Upcoming schedule. Colgate is getting Bucknell at home this weekend. Navy and Army though. Circle at Rocco, two games Saturday and Sunday in Maryland.
That, I can't wait for that one.
Biggest Army Navy basketball series I can ever remember.
Yeah. I mean, there's been years when one or the other, well, there's been years when Navy's been good. There's been very few years when Army's been good. Unless you want to go all the way back to the Bob Knight era. But
There have been years where they've met. There have been years where they've met in the opening round of the conference tournament, and that was fun, but this is more fun.
Yes, this would be a fun one. Over in the SoCon, which is League of Disappointments this week, starting with the game that happened earlier tonight. Rocco, let me start with you on this one. Furman, who had been really playing well since we got to the conference play, at VMI tonight, and I just don't know what to say after that.
Well, you know, I've been saying that they're just pests, man. They play everybody tough. They always hang around, and if you take your foot off the gas, they can beat you. They did it to Chattanooga. They won a shootout against the Citadel before this, and this is obviously the landmark win now for the program. So I just want to give a hats off to Dan Earl and the Keydets because. You know, they embody what VMI is, a military school. They play tough. Most of the games, they don't have the more talented team. They have great shooters, and they play a fun, fast, exciting brand of basketball. Today's game plan was tempered a little bit to throw Furman off their game. And, you know, they kept it within 6 or 8 most of the way. And then Furman hit a little bit of a wall with 5 minutes to go, and VMI capitalized. The last 8 seconds were crazy because Furman was down 3, got fouled on a 3, made all 3 free throws to tie it. And then on the other end, VMI drew a foul, made one of the 2 free throws, and survived for a 1-point win. Just just a great win for VMI's program. For Furman, again, very talented team. All their metrics are worthy. But I think the one thing hurting the program is they couldn't get the big non-conference win. They didn't the last couple of years. And you know they seem to stumble once or twice in SoCon play, so they got to fix that up.
Yeah,
eventually.
You had discussed VMI before. They're kind of a team that's really easy to pass over because they're normally at or near the bottom of the conference standings, and you just sort of chalk it up as when you're looking at the teams at the top of the league that are going to contend for the league title, or even in some of the recent years finish inside the bubble. You're not really worried about VMI. But they, you know, they did. They had a couple big wins last year that really hurt some resumes. And you'd made that point before about how no one in the league likes to play against them.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's what I've been told directly from a couple of the teams. I start watching them pretty closely, you know, the last couple of years, and it's just it's pretty cool to see the progress.
Yeah.
A couple of the notes here. Citadel, after the 8-0 start, has now lost 4 straight, including a loss to Greensboro tonight. Also, not on the screen there, but a game that just went final a few minutes ago. Chattanooga did win at Samford, so they're now 3-4. Samford dropping to 2-5 in conference play. Upcoming schedule, though, in the SoCon. Should be coming up on the screen here. And if we want to look at Wofford and Furman at the top of the conference there, Furman hosting Greensboro, which... You know, Greensboro starting to pick up a couple of wins now. Maybe they're rebounding after a real rough start to the season.
Real rough start.
and Wofford is at Citadel. VMI, meanwhile, is at Mercer and hosting Western Carolina, it looks like.
What has happened to Mercer?
Yeah, so I think, Chad, just a quick update on that.
Okay, some updates.
There might have been a little shuffle. We have Furman going to East Tennessee State on Saturday.
Okay, that game is there, actually. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, both 4-1, so that should be the spotlight game, I think, even though Furman lost today. But yeah, every game in this league is pretty fun to watch. But I will admit that the league's a little down compared to last year's excellence.
I think it's a lot down compared to last year. It's still very, it's still one of the top one of the radar leagues, but
yeah,
but definitely taking a step back this year.
I agree.
Over in the Southland Conference, this is another conference that tends to always play games while we are recording on these Wednesday night podcasts. Yeah. This is just a quick update. Stephen F. Austin is now 5-0. They did pick up a win over Northwestern State. And also, in what I thought would be a huge game tonight, Sam Houston State is up 11 on halftime over Abilene Christian as we record this. So if Sam Houston State can hold on in the second half, they'll be out to a 6-0 start. And Rocco, we've spoken SFA, we've spoken Abilene Christian. I don't know that we've spoken as enough Sam Houston State yet this year. Maybe it's time to do it.
I think it's time to do it. The Bearcats are tough. You know, if you look at their losses in the non-conference, the reason why we kind of overlooked them, I think, is the five losses: SMU, Texas Tech, Boise State, LSU, Texas. I mean, all big-time programs. Four out of the five inside the bubble, SMU on the bubble. So yeah. All the other games, you didn't really get to learn much. You had three non-D1s. You had Rice, UT, Rio Grande Valley. So now they get into league play, and they've started buzzsawing teams, except they did get a tough fight from Nichols, who I think is underrated as well. So it's good to see, because look what they're doing with Abilene Christian tonight, up 11 at half, as you mentioned. I think this team here, Sam Houston, with Stephen F. Austin, again, who's probably not going to be eligible for the tournament when it's all said and done, ACU and maybe even Nichols, keeps the top four pretty interesting.
David, I got to talk to you about the bottom of the Southland, because we see something here that we've never seen before, probably never see again because of the COVID year that we have and the rule changes. McNeese State, overall record of 6-7. You think that's respectable?
Yeah.
Versus D1, 0-7. That is six non-D1 games for McNeese. It's two more than are normally allowed. Rule that was amended for this year only, though.
Yeah. And again, in the battle for the centenary, but is six D2 wins too many, even though they are D2?
we may have to start looking at the quality of those non-D1. Yeah. You know, and we have to see what they do against Texas A&M Corpus Christi, who also has not won a D1 game yet.
Right.
Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule, though. As you mentioned, the games that are going on or already went on tonight. But coming up this weekend, Lamar, a tough Lamar team at SFA, and then SFA at Abilene Christian coming up on Wednesday. So that's another huge game here to put to circle.
Yeah.
And, of course, the big news in the Southland is that these teams that we're discussing at the top here, SFA, Sam Houston State, Abilene Christian, and Lamar, all on their way out next year over to the WAC, Rocco. So,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be Nichols State's conference come next season, right?
Oh, man.
Based on what we know, yeah. And it'll be a heavy Louisiana league. And, you know, they're going to have to make some moves themselves. So maybe we'll get more announcements by the time the season's over.
That would leave them with nine, although there's also talk of Central Arkansas moving on over to the A-Sun, the other direction.
So. How many of those schools left play football? Incarnate Word, New Orleans does not. Houston Baptist does not.
Houston Baptist does. Yeah, they do now. So does North.
Oh, they do. State. Okay. So, like, I was just wondering, they might be fine. I would just stay at a 9-team format.
Again, it might be, like I said, it might be an 8-team format also, but that has not been officially announced. It's only rumored so far as what Central Arkansas is going to be doing going forward. Let's, though, jump over to the SWAC where David, Alabama A&M. Got back on the court again, finally. They now have one. They are continuing their streak of one win per month. They have a November. They have a December. They now have their January victory.
It was amazing against their big Magic City rival, the Alabama State. So remaining undefeated, only 152 in the net. I guess not very efficient.
Top two teams here, I guess. Prairie View, we liked all season. Texas Southern, Rocco, I thought we were going to like, but, you know, losing at home by six to Grambling, I'm ready to write off Texas Southern and focus on Prairie View and maybe Southern at this point.
I like Southern, and Prairie View belongs. You know, they're the defending champs. They got a good team. So, you know, I agree with those two being the top two. Grambling's pesky, as you mentioned. But when it comes down to it, Texas Southern, I mean, I'm not going to write them completely off. They're still capable of winning the SWAC tournament, I think.
Yeah, they they would be capable of that. We've got the upcoming schedule here. Allegedly, Alabama A&M back on the court on Saturday. That would be a very, very strange that they played two games in the same month.
I would not advise that. They have a winning formula. They should stick with that.
Yeah, Southern will give them a fight too.
Yeah,
that could
Southern
be a good game.
Clobber them. This is not a good Alabama
team. If you look at the results, they're good. If you look at the predictive matrix, does it really tell you how good a team that's only played three games is? You see, they are not a very good team.
Yeah.
Hey, they got a win over the SoCon and a win over the Sun Belt. That's
they did.
Yeah, with the number 346 offense of the nation. Yes. And there's only 347 teams playing this season, by the way.
There you go.
Let's jump over to the Summit League. A couple more conferences left to go here. But over in the Summit, where Rocco, we only got four games even played this past week, unfortunately. None of them involving the top two teams there. Oral Roberts, though, sitting there, still got a pair of wins at Denver. The big, big rivalry against Denver, as we just found out during last week. And they're now 5-1, though, and they should be 6-0, but they're 5-1 in conference.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that Oral Roberts had never won at Denver in Summit play.
It's a big rivalry.
Yeah.
Well, they've been in the
throw out the record books when those two throw out everything else too. It's just
I did a little digging on that. They came over from the Southland in 2015, and so this is their sixth year in the Summit. So they've had five other cracks at Denver. They lost all five, and I think in all 5 years, Oral Roberts had a better team in the metric. So it's actually pretty amazing that they had never won there, given the fact they were better than Denver every year. They just couldn't win in the altitude.
North Dakota State swept their rivalry series. Coming up this week, though, we've got North Dakota, South Dakota State, and I don't believe South Dakota State's going to be back on the court yet. They're still shut down. Oh, no, oh, they are against North Dakota on Saturday. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. North Dakota, South Dakota State on Saturday.
Really like this South Dakota State team.
I do too. I'm assuming that we get some games in here. It'd be great to see them back on the court. David, let me stick with you here as we jump over to the Sun Belt Conference, where Georgia State picked up a win over Troy and their a win over Coastal Carolina this week.
Yeah.
Now I want to go to Georgia State's profile here for you, because they are 2-1 in conference and one of the more amazing looking conference records I've ever seen, I think, in my entire life. They are 2-1 in conference. They have beaten Coastal Carolina and beaten Coastal Carolina and lost to Coastal Carolina. They play nobody but Coastal Carolina.
That is ridiculous. Yeah, you're right. And again, Coastal Carolina, what we thought, one of the better teams in the conference. Well, I guess they win the best of three series and they might play again.
They might play again in the conference tournament, but Rocco, all we know about Georgia State so far, other than the fact they beat Georgia Tech, is that they are 2 out of 3 better than Coastal Carolina, correct?
And those Coastal Carolina games were pretty evenly matched, I thought. I watched a little bit of each of them. So I think both teams are pretty solid. They're probably the two best teams on that side of the league. With the division split, everybody's going to play each other at least four times total, so two series apiece. So they had to do some rearranging, and that's why they ended up going back to back. But on the other side of the Sun Belt, I did a feature this week on Texas State, who had a huge sweep at Little Rock. And Texas State, you know, if you think back to the offseason, they had the real tough situation with Coach Casper. He ended up getting canned. And now TJ Johnson, interim coach, comes in. He did an amazing job, not only keeping the guys together and not leaving the program, but now they're playing really well. I don't know if you guys watched game one, but a fight broke out at the end of game one between Little Rock and Texas State, between two of the best players on the teams, Noel for Little Rock and Davis for Texas State. So I thought for sure Little Rock was going to come out heated, possibly blow them out, and Little Rock just Texas State came ready to fight Little Rock. So, you know, to get those two wins away from home really puts them in a great position.
And it was just, I mean, it was broken up pretty quickly. And it was, right at the end of the game.
They were suspended, though, for the second
game. They were both suspended for the second game. Yeah. Fortunately, it wasn't anything more than that. It was just a little bit of a tussle.
Upcoming schedule here, Georgia State's at App State. And we've got Texas State now, who's got the team we got to start focusing on in the West Division there. They're at Louisiana Monroe for a pair of games.
And they should win both of those the way they're going.
That right? Louisiana Monroe is at Portland on Monday? Or is that a mistake, Rocco? Have you heard anything about that? I think that might be a mistake there. I think we should we'll get that double checked.
Right. I just like random games like that.
it's a very random game if they're going all the way to Oregon.
I hope they're playing Portland State while they're there, too.
Yeah.
Let's see, Louisiana Monroe. No, I think that's a mistake.
I think it's a mistake as well, but it'd be fun if it was true. So we'll pretend it was. Let's.
You might need two connections to get there, but
let's go to a conference.
Let's go to the West Athletic Conference beginning next year.
Five eligible teams.
Well, for a couple of things. Number one, starting next year, there's going to be four more teams, as we already mentioned, coming in from the Southland. The year after, Southern Utah, 2 years from now, Southern Utah is going to be joining the WAC as well. Chicago State on their way out. At the same time that Southern Utah comes in. So we're going to be at 13 teams now, a strange number, but it's going to be a 13-team conference, at least unless some other moves are made here. But in terms of this season, only five eligible teams. Chicago State has shut down already. Dixie State, Tarleton State, and California Baptist transitional, although California Baptist will be playing in the WAC tournament, so it'll be a six-team event. All that said, conference games are scarce to get to, and we talked about it, I think, every week at Rocket Water. Talk about it again. New Mexico State has one D1 game. I want to be able to pick them to win this conference, but you can't yet. I mean, can they get out? Because this team is finally getting on the court, I think tomorrow, I believe.
Yeah, tomorrow or Friday. Yeah. One of those two. If you just look up recent news stories, type in New Mexico State. I mean, they're so excited. They finally get to practice at home, but they aren't allowed to have games there yet. So they're talking to some high schools in El Paso, actually, to host their games. I think they have 2 days to figure that out. So
I heard they're talking to, and it was
expect an announcement on that soon.
Okay. I knew somebody was playing in St. George where Dixie State is located, but that's the Lobos.
That's the Lobos. Yep. So good news overall. I mean, I know they're happy to be home, but this program has been through so much this year. I think three or four pauses. Most of the rosters tested positive at one point or another. It's just been tumultuous, but they've got a talented team. And if they can, you know, when they do eventually get back, hopefully Friday, get up to 13 games by Selection Sunday, hang out and wherever you need to hang out to get games, they're going to be dangerous, I think.
Yeah, I think they are still going to try to get all 16 conference games in. So we'll see if they can pull that off here.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
And Rocco, you have some news about a non-conference game in this conference?
Yeah, so Utah Valley is going to go to St. John's on Saturday. Very interesting game, but it's all signed, sealed, and we should see it delivered on Saturday. And then the one I actually mentioned earlier, Chad, so I guess I have two pieces here, is Tarleton and UT Rio Grande Valley set up what's going to be called a non-conference game on Saturday because Seattle U is on pause right now.
Okay. So it's been a crazy year in the WAC.
It is. But on your original news there, Chad, I would just say that the league is going to get a lot stronger. You're talking about three of the strongest Southland teams coming over.
Four. Lamar's not a bad team at all.
Yeah. Lamar's not bad. And then Southern Utah, the way their program's going too. So eventually this is going to be, they could go from a high 20s ranked league to perhaps a top 15 league.
And as California Baptist and Dixie State and even Tarleton start get through their transitions, these are programs that are poised to become good, good D1 programs. These are
got money.
I kind of look at the way Northern Kentucky came up and how they've been so successful to rise. I think you're going to see that type of success from these teams here.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And when you look at like the market and the high school talent around Chicago State, this is a program. Oh, who am I saying? They're never going to be good.
they're on their way out after next season. They will play one more season in the WAC.
Where are they going? This season.
Nowhere yet.
Nowhere yet. They're just going.
They're going. I would assume they're going to look at something like the Summit League, Summit. Maybe a few other conferences. But
the one problem with that is that the Summit League has to agree to take them.
Last conference of the night, real quick here. A little quick update on the Front Range standings. Oh, yes. Where unfortunately, Wyoming fell. Wyoming actually split with Air Force, putting Colorado in sole possession of first place, even though they are struggling in a non-conference game.
Kind of surprising. Struggling in what I think is a bye game here out of conference against Washington, who's just 1-11 on the year.
Funny Colorado about that State, is they actually played in a non-conference game in Vegas earlier this year.
And Colorado State still hasn't even played a conference game yet. I mean, we got to get the Rams on the court here, don't we?
Yeah, I know.
Upcoming schedule there. Let's see if we have any actual Front Range games. I don't think we actually have any this week. But Colorado State with a tough test against Boise coming up on Wednesday.
Yeah, just not much, not what it normally is.
Get them at home.
Yeah.
On that note, though, let's jump over to our top 10 list. This is our Under the Rare top 10. The three of us all submitted votes, which I cross-country score. We'll start some honorable mentions. Teams getting votes that did not make our top 10. Furman dropping out of the top 10 after their loss to VMI tonight. Wow.
Yeah, really dinged them. I had them I had them barely in mind, but yeah.
Liberty, UAB, Bradley, Bowling Green, and Southern Utah all on the board getting votes. Did not make our top 10, but let's go through our top 10. Number 10, we have Siena, the undefeated Saints, who we started the show off with.
Yeah.
At number 9, we got Missouri State, very strong, only one loss so far out of the Missouri Valley. Mm-hmm. And number 8, we got Belmont, strong out of the OVC. Yeah. At 7, we have Georgia State team that we were just talking about in the Sun Belt. Mm-hmm. And at 6, we've got Toledo still up there in the rankings despite the loss to Akron. At number 5, we've got South Dakota State moving up the rankings now. Not playing. Maybe, don't play, you move on.
I mean, they're taking a page out of Alabama A&M's book.
Western Kentucky coming in at number 4. Alabama A&M did not make this list unless they're in the top 3, despite being undefeated. But Western Kentucky coming in at number 4, moving back up after they had fallen a little bit earlier this season. Loyola Chicago coming in at number 3. And that's already two MVC teams, and we still haven't even seen the undefeated team yet. And we still want to see the number 2, Winthrop, undefeated.
Right, and number 1, and rightfully so, and maybe not under the radar for that much longer, the Drake Bulldogs.
Yeah. By that note, let's pull this down. Let's run out any final thoughts. Rocco, let me start with you.
Yeah, so two quick ones. Our future conference tonight was the Metro Atlantic. And, one of the things – besides Siena, it's been pretty treacherous viewing in the Metro Atlantic. You'll find 4 of the worst offenses in NCAA basketball. If you watch a Quinnipiac, a Marist, a Fairfield, or a Manhattan game, it's like a snail's pace. And you see a lot of games end in the 50s. But we love those programs, and we're going to continue to watch no matter how poor the offenses are. And I'm glad we had them as the future league. Lastly, I will say, Bellarmine Knights, brand new to Division I, played and won their first road series in a sweep at Florida Gulf Coast, a team who's beaten Miami and showed some heart this year. I think this Bellarmine Knights program is sky's the limit in the future, and even this year, a tough out in the A-Sun.
I agree with that. I think Bellarmine is set up to be a very successful D1 program.
Just a quick note back to the Metro Atlantic. Yes, we have 4 of the worst offenses. Most of them are Ken Pom rated. They're all rated triple figures in Ken Pom in terms of tempo, except for Monmouth, who's the number 4 tempo in the nation. So
Monmouth's good, though.
It's a very interesting contrast when Monmouth plays anybody in that conference. But David, let me let you finish off the show.
Just wanting to go back out to the Big Sky, Southern Utah in recent years, perhaps one of the more improved programs in all of college basketball, to go from the 350s easily up to where they're now contending for the Big Sky Championship. I mean, what a jump, what progress they've made. Congratulations to them. It's been fun to watch. I hope they're able to keep it up. And the other thing, and no one needs me to tell them this, so maybe there isn't a whole lot of point in saying it. I just really hate that when you look at teams like Winthrop and Siena, and the trouble that they're having getting out of conference games and And then on top of that, New Mexico State. These are all really good under the radar teams, teams that could get onto the 12 or 13 line or maybe inside the bubble, struggling to build any sort of a profile at all. And in the case of New Mexico State, struggling to play against anyone. You just kind of hate that we're in this, and God, I'll be glad. I mean, it's fun to have a season. At least we have that. But man, it's going to feel so good next year when things are kind of back to normal.
I have no idea what I'm going to do next year, what it's going to be like. I'm going to see a schedule at the start of the season, and it's pretty much going to stay the same until the end of the season. We're not going to have to make a list of what games were canceled. You know, Rocco, I had to fill in for you Monday night and announce all the canceled games for the week.
I have to take breaks from it. You know, it's not good for your mentals to be doing the schedule juggling every day. You gotta take breaks.
On behalf of Rocco Miller, you can check him out as well at bracketeer.org. David Griggs over here. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us.
You can check me out at Hoops HD.
No, please don't. we're going to be back tomorrow night with a bracket rundown show, I believe. And we'll be back next week with another Under the Radar. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.